This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
During the week, yesterday, to be quite honest, the Victorian Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, who unfortunately can't join us this morning.
No, she was going to, but she's got a family issue.
Yeah, unfortunately, she couldn't join us. But she did put out a media release yesterday, really giving the federal government a bit of a swap again. She essentially is saying that the federal government has failed to respond calls to step up and fund PrEP. Pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is the HIV prevention drug. To talk to us about this morning, we have Michael Whelan in the studio. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you for coming. You had a bit of trouble getting your car parked.
I did. Yes.
But we just got him. He scampered up the lift and here he is in the flesh.
Michael, you're from a group called Prep Access Now. Who are you? Who's the group?
So Prep Access Now is a grassroots, community-based, peer-led sort of education group. We're committed to ensuring PrEP access across Australia for anyone that wants and needs access to it. We were formed, I believe it was August 2015, so we've been around for a little while. So we've just been disseminating community information to people who want to firstly know what PrEP is, does it work, how effective is it, how can I get access to it? Because here in Australia, as we'll probably discuss, it's a little bit different depending on where you live. There's not equal access across Australia just yet.
So let's just deal with all those issues one at a time, shall we?
Yeah.
How effective is it?
Very effective. Apart from second to having an undetectable viral load or using treatment as prevention, it is the most effective HIV prevention tool we have in our toolbox, of which there are many. So it's upwards of 98-99% effective in terms of risk reduction. So that doesn't mean 1% of the time you're going to get HIV. That means it's a 99% risk reduction on the risk you already have.
You mentioned your toolbox.
Yes, I know. It's had a very interesting choice of words.
So what else is in your toolbox, Michael?
The three main tools we have at the moment in order of effectiveness really are treatment as prevention, having an undetectable viral load. We know from things like the partner study that it's incredibly, incredibly effective. It's nigh on impossible to transmit the virus. Then second to that, we have PrEP, which is obviously used by negative people as opposed to positive people using treatment as prevention. And then for everybody, we have condoms.
Fantastic.
And speaking of condoms, one of the issues we just need to keep talking about is, safe sex, use of condoms, etc. Because whilst this is absolutely fantastic and you've talked about the, elimination of a lot of the risk factors and all of that sort of stuff, we still have other areas where there's transmittable diseases. So we kind of, I think that's often been the debate, hasn't it,
about making sure
we keep the effort up.
Yeah. One of the phrases I like to use is just because airbags came in, we didn't stop using seatbelts.
Yeah.
So it's all about choosing what prevention methods are right for you. At the moment, condoms are readily available. You can walk down to Chemist Warehouse or to your local Coles and grab them. You can't do the same with PrEP. So our focus is on promoting PrEP and trying to get access to PrEP to use in conjunction with all the other prevention methods.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a bit more, Michael. So yesterday the minister essentially gave the Turnbull government a bit of a slap and said there was a
health minister's conference and, this would have been raised by the states and the Commonwealth who have responsibility.
Well, that's a great insight from a former health minister.
Yeah,
thanks,
yeah.
Bowman.
just would have been in the no-go zone. And so, of course, but it's a bit ordinary that the state's got to step up and do this because it is actually a Commonwealth responsibility.
It is, so, but how fantastic of our local health minister.
Oh, it's amazing. Here, Jill Hennessy, she's fantastic.
To be leading the charge on that conversation.
Mm. Well, that's great feedback. So what we've heard is that the Victorian government's already putting $1.4 million into this program.
Indeed.
And, but that's not quite enough because there are still people who are on a waiting list.
This is true. There are people on a secondary waiting list. So back in... for a bit of context, the PrEP-X trial here run by the Alfred Health and the Alfred Hospital is the fastest enrolled PrEP clinical study anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Anywhere. It's absolutely astronomical.
Everyone wants to get on it.
The projections of how many people they thought they would have signing up for this clinical study just got completely blown out of the water. People were vying left, right and centre for appointments.
Well, it just shows you then, doesn't it, that there's still a fear out there.
There's a real community mobilisation. Yeah. So people know that they're at risk and they want to do something about it and they want access to this tool. Sorry, what was I talking about?
You're talking about the waiting list. The original
allocation of numbers reached capacity in November last year. And now the Victorian AIDS Council stepped in and committed $100,000 to clear all of the people on that waiting list.
Of its own money,
great. Yes, which was absolutely phenomenal. So we were able to get about another 450 to 600 people back, you know, onto the PrEP-X trial. And then obviously what happened is all those people got access and there was all this excitement and more people joined the wait list. So we now have about, I think it's just more than 600 people on that wait list waiting to get on PrEP. And the Victorian Health Ministry has stepped in and has matched Victorian AIDS Council's original commitment of 100,000.
So. Well, that's a fantastic initiative,
absolutely,
isn't it? So why is there resistance by the federal government to allow this to be on PBS?
Dollars.
Money,
which is astounding, given the fact that you can inject, you know, admittedly quite a lot of money into this issue. Getting people on PrEP, you're not on PrEP for your entire life. No. You might only be on PrEP for 12 months while you're incredibly, you know, at risk. Your risk levels change, so you might be on PrEP for a year, you might be on PrEP for 5 years, even 10 years. PrEP isn't for a lifetime.
Yeah, but what about the cost of dealing with someone? You know, I mean, exactly. It's always the top or the bottom of the cliff stuff. And,
yeah,
you know,
so
this is preventative.
It's preventative, exactly. So if you deny those people affordable access to this medication, they're going to, at some stage, become HIV positive, and we're going to have to care for those people and their health
concerns for the rest of their life. And the cost to the health system is enormous. Do you reckon there's a kind of a bit of a moralistic thing happening here at the federal level? I mean, we've just been talking about, Malcolm Turnbull having to bow to conservatives with ADNC, with marriage equality. Is there any element of
I think so. There's a certain
don't give it.
Of,
it's a bit like the old debates, you know. Don't give them the pill because they run around and breed like rabbits.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or not breed like rabbits, but root like rabbits or something.
There are a lot of intersectionalities with the conversation that was originally had around the female contraceptive pill. You know, why can't you just use condoms? It's like, well, it's the female contraceptive pill puts the power back with the person that needs it, which is the woman. And PrEP does a similar thing for not just for gay men, but for all people. But it puts protection back on the user, especially those that are, you know, on quote unquote the receiving end, who, you know, they lose a little bit of that power in that dynamic.
I think it's a great thing. I think it's very warmly received by our communities. There's no question about that. And whatever work you do, fully applauded and supported.
Yeah,
by
absolutely. So, I mean, your group, how long have you been working together on this issue?
We formed in August 2015. The PrEP has been around in what I call the PrEPosphere for,
PrEPosphere.
Since it was approved
the PEP
by...
and PrEPosphere.
PEP and PrEPosphere.
And Toolbox.
Exactly. And I like the Toolbox.
Don't you love the whole new language?
So it's been out in the sort of zeitgeist for, you know, since 2012 when it was first approved by the US FDA for use as PrEP. We've come on essentially late to the bandwagon, even with us coming on board in August 2015, and a lot of the major AIDS councils weren't on board even then. So it's really taken some really grassroots community activism and mobilisation of at-risk communities to to make their voices heard, and they've spoken out to the AIDS councils, and now all the AIDS councils are really pro-PrEP. It's now a matter of getting the federal government on board and funding it, because there's, state by state, there's so much disparity and inequality amongst who has access and who doesn't have access to PrEP.
Michael, one of our listeners, Tony, has just written in and said one of the biggest barriers to accessing PrEP are the exorbitant prices being demanded by various companies through PBS.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
Well, the to give listeners a little bit of feedback on that, originally, so Truvada is the only... the only drug that's been put forth to the pharmaceutical benefits scheme listing.
Yep.
That listing was denied some months ago now. And there was discussion that Gilead, who's the manufacturer of Truvada, had asked for too much money. So they said, here, we'll give you this medication and the government will have to give them money in return for distributing it. And apparently they were asking for too much money. So there's a little bit of money grabbing here and there. Yeah. But
So does this mean that the drug is still under patent?
The drug is still under patent until the very end of this year or the very start of next year, I believe.
So what happens then?
Well, things are already happening, actually.
So you can copy it?
Well, you can. It's already being copied. So a lot of the people that can't get onto clinical trials here are accessing medication from overseas. So they're not buying Truvada. They're buying generic Truvada, just like you would walk down to your chemist and instead of getting Zevirax, you'd get Chemist Warehouse branded, you know, lip ointment or whatever. So there's a couple of manufacturers, Cipla and Mylan are the two major ones that are making generics, which are relatively affordable, outside the realm of possibilities for some low-income earners, but people are still already accessing those. And there's two manufacturers based in Australia that have already submitted to the TGA for approval as PrEP and have been accepted. So there's Lupin Pharmaceuticals, which operates here as Generic Health, and I believe the other one is Cipla.
Mm. There you go. Mm.
So I recently visited an HIV clinic in Washington, D.C., and they were already using PrEP,
yep.
And they deal with the, you know, quite disadvantaged members of the community.
Yep.
They say it is absolutely transforming their work and allowing them to actually get on with the business of wrapping around better primary health services for the community they deal with, other than, you know, rather than kind of mopping up the mess, and which affects every element of people's lives, including housing and, you know, so, yeah, it's dynamic change. It's amazing.
And the climate in DC is astronomical. Mm. As you know, there's such high HIV prevalence in places like Southern California and Florida and in Latino and Black communities over there. But DC is just astounding, their HIV infection rates.
Michael, we have to wrap up soon. So what's your final message? What can you say to our listeners who might be interested in PrEP?
Well, if you're interested in PrEP, I would join the wait list. I can't tell you when that will get cut off and how far this... How this $100,000 will stretch. So you can sign up onto the wait list at the Alfred Health website. So it's alfredhealth.org.au/PrepX, and that'll take you to the wait list there. Or you can just Google Alfred Health PrepX.
Yep, easy.
So join that wait list, and if you can't get on, you can still personally import the medication at, you know, your own personal cost. So you can head to prepaccessnow.com.au for information on that.
And that's a website that you're associated with?
It is. That is our organisation. That's what we've set up. And there's also an assistance scheme set up for people that want to access at lower cost.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.